some tradition and making things somewhat normal as you gather with us on Facebook. This is what our sanctuary looks like during the season of Lent. It'll look different. Certainly next week. I do want you to know that on Friday, I've been having Pastor Kevin's updates on Fridays here. And this Friday at 1 o'clock, and I'll repost that and let people know that, but this Friday at 1 o'clock, I'm just going to have a little Good Friday message. It'll be brief and short and just kind of getting you ready for Easter Sunday, but to help us remember that somber moment on Good Friday. So hopefully you'll join us. So the sanctuary will look a little different on Friday, a little different on Sunday. And, you know, I just miss Palm Sunday. The song that Twyla had just played, the kids have been coming down the aisles and waving palm branches and out of control and putting them in these vases here. And I miss that. Look forward to that. So again, as we're here this morning, just again, you know, our world's changing. And we're experiencing things right now in a world we've never experienced. But you know one thing that's not changed is God and His Word. That isn't going to change. And as we celebrate Palm Sunday and waving the palm branches as we would here this morning, we're reminded of that victory and that celebration. And this morning, as we think about Palm Sunday in our faith, and you know, again, you know, we're just so consumed by what's happening in our world today, this pandemic, that I don't want us to lose focus on our faith and lose focus on this cross and in our faith. That's what it's all about. You know, we talk about Christmas and Jesus was born, and he certainly was born. He had to be born before he could die on the cross for us. And in Scripture this morning, we look at Palm Sunday. It was somewhat of a celebratory event. And again, don't let the world, don't let the devil steal your joy and diminish your faith. Because today, Hosanna, Hosanna. Victory in Jesus, as I might call that. Blessed is the one, he, Jesus, who comes in the name of the Lord. That King is coming. And so in Scripture this morning, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verses 28 through 44 this morning. Again, I was really encouraged last week, those who joined us and were checking in. And again, if you're just joining us, check in so we'll know who's here, just so we can, you know, fellowship with one another. And I had some messages later, several people texting me later and saying, hey, I know you posted all that, but give me those scriptures again so I can read through those again this week and reflect upon them, and certainly blessed by God's word. So Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 44 is what we are going to be looking at this morning. And again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 is our prayer verse for prayer this morning. The King is coming, Luke chapter 18, verses 28 through 44. And I apologize if I'm holding a Bible up. I'm just having some trouble seeing this. I guess it might have something to do with that birthday that's coming up. We're getting older. I'm not getting old. I'm getting older. And as we get older, sometimes we can't see that well. I actually have ordered a large print Bible, but it has not arrived. And who knows when it might. So read with me this morning. And again, if you don't have a Bible in front of you, just listen to God's word. As we start here in Luke chapter 19 and verse 28, it says, after Jesus had said this, and what that means, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. That's verse 28. But what he means by after Jesus had said this, he was teaching. He was having a teachable moment. He was certainly, you know, talking to the people, and he was teaching a parable. And so after he teaches this parable, it goes on and says, as he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone ask you why you're untying it, say, the Lord needs it. I want us to stop there this morning. You know, again, here Jesus is having his teachable moment. He's trying to teach the disciples and the people, and he used parables to get his point across, a story that teaches a lesson. We use those too with children, even adults sometimes. And, you know, this story, you know, we're thinking about Hosanna. We're thinking about palm branches. But it's really important to note here that Jesus gives these instructions. He tells these disciples to go and do something. And so they go and do it. And it's already set up. It's already taken care of. And I think as we read this morning, we need to be reminded God has a plan for us. He has a will for us. And all we have to do is follow it and just go with the plan. And when God says, I'm going to take care of it, I'm going to take care of it. When God asks you to do something, when he calls you to do something, he'll equip you, he'll enable you, and he'll empower you to do it. So he's telling his disciples, hey, don't ask any questions. Go get this colt. Okay? No one's ever used it before. Go get it. And he tells them exactly where it is. And he says, now, if anyone asks you, just say, hey, the Lord needs it. That's all you got to do. The Lord needs it. Well, that should be enough, shouldn't it? The Lord needs it. When the Lord needs you to do something or calls you to do something, you should do it. Now, the reality is when God calls us to do something, if you don't do it, he'll get somebody else to do it. His work needs to be done, but he doesn't really need you to do it. He wants you to do it. He wants you to do his work because you'll be blessed by it and be a blessing to others if you do his work. But God's work's going to get done. And so there's a job here. So it's taken care of. And if they say, why are you untying this? Hey, the Lord needs it. Just keep on moving. Okay? And we should try that. I mean, just if someone asks you, hey, what are you doing? Oh, the Lord asked me to do it. Just keep on going. Okay? Make sure it's legal, right? I mean, is this legal? They're stealing it? I don't know that they're stealing it. They're going to get it. If the Lord said to do it, he needs it. So if the Lord needs it, go get it. So those, it says, here we go, as we move on to verse 32, it says, those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. See? Jesus doesn't mess things up. God doesn't mess things up. He says, just do what I ask you to do. Follow the directions. And they did that. They followed the directions. And there it was, just as they were told. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? Well, there we go. Jesus knew they were going to be asked that question because they're actually stealing it. Okay? It's not theirs. Okay? The owner is going to hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? Okay? Why are you untying the colt? They reported or replied, the Lord needs it. Hey, that's what Jesus told them to do. He told them exactly what to say. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. Isn't it interesting? That's it. It just said, they replied, the Lord needs it. The disciples said, the Lord needs it. And what's the owner going to say? Nothing. Okay? He said nothing. And so they move on with the plan. The plan is continuing to unfold. Just as God had created it and Jesus is following the plan. See, Jesus had these people that were listening and following him sometimes, right? To follow the plan. Just like today, Jesus' work needs to be continued. We need to show compassion. This is, again, always we should be showing compassion being the church. But when people are in need and hurting and feel there's no hope, we the church are to show them, here's the hope. Right here in this colt, this story, there's the hope right here. Jesus is telling the disciples what to do, and there's no glitches in the plan. It's all happening as he told them. Don't worry about it. Do what I tell you to do. It'll all be taken care of. See, we get all worried when God calls us to do something. Oh, I don't know if I'm ready. Oh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't have the gifts to do that. You don't need to. But God says, hey, I need you to do this. I'm calling you to do it. Just go do it. And he'll provide everything you need, even if it's a colt. Or a donkey, or whatever it might be. And that's what's happening here in this story. So they brought this colt to Jesus, and they put their cloaks, their garments, their coats, as you might call them, on this colt, and they put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. So are you picturing this? This is nothing like a parade in downtown Shenstone where people are out of their minds and throwing candy and jumping for candy. Nothing like that. This is a parade of humbleness. People are throwing down, it says cloaks, but I imagine they were throwing down whatever they had to kind of make this entryway, this pathway for the king. The king is coming. Hosanna. There's palm branches waving, and that's the parade. No one's throwing candy. No one's collecting candy. There isn't even a band. Jesus is on his colt, and he's coming through. And people are there, and they throw their coats down. They want this colt, this man. Did Jesus really care what he was riding on? No. Did he really care that he was sitting on a coat or a cloak, and people were putting their coats down? Probably their dirty coats. I don't know. When he came near the place, it says in verse 37, where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. So it's this parade. As I look at this, this whole idea of Palm Sunday is the people are saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you for the miracles that you've performed. Thank you for your teaching and preaching and telling us and helping us to understand who you really are. And thank you, God, for sending him. Thank you, Jesus, for listening to your Father. I believe that's what's happening here. And that's what it says in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Palm branches are waving. This is what they're shouting and screaming. No bands are playing. No music being played. With their voices, they're shouting this. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So these are the people that are shouting this and a part of the parade, throwing their cloaks down, that somewhat believe or understand or seen what he's done. And are trying to believe him and want to believe him and understand him. His disciples and followers. It's this parade of thanksgiving, so to speak. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Oh, here we go, though. Here they come. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus in verse 39, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Verse 40, I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Jesus said, well, keep me back quiet. I mean, you will praise the Lord, you better praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in the storm, right? Just read, you should be thankful always. And so these Pharisees are saying, hey, buddy, you better get these people quiet. You better send these people home. They're breaking all kinds of ordinances and codes, so you better get out of here. Well, the Pharisees, again, are trying to defeat Jesus and all that believed him. Well, what do you mean? Teacher, rebuke your disciples? I tell you, but if they keep quiet, the stones will cry. You're not going to keep quiet. So it goes on here. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in every side. And in verse 44, they will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. So Jesus is saying here, for you, the Pharisees, anyone that's doubting, you better get it together. Because, wow, right here, they will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time God is coming. God's coming. And Jesus said, I'm trying to prepare you people. I'm trying to take and telling you all this time in my journey here on this earth that you better listen to me. You better believe me. Trust me. As we talked about last week when the disciples needed comforted and Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Just believe me. Just trust me. And Jesus, to the very end, all the way to this cross right here, and saying, you guys just got to believe me and trust me. I'm telling you, please, he's begging people. And here these people in this parade are trying to thank him. And there were doubters. And even some of those same people that were doing this and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, become doubters later. And so in this story, as we call it, the Palm Sunday story, or I might call it the Palm Sunday story. I think it's really important that you understand some things that happened leading up to that. That everything was ready, everything was planned, everything was prepared. God set it all out. Jesus came here to follow the plan. And then Jesus was using his people, his disciples, to carry through, carry out the plan. And in this case, hey, you guys, go get this colt, this donkey, whatever you want to call it, go get it. It's not been used before. Doesn't really belong to me. But you go get it. If anybody asks any questions, you tell them the Lord needs it. The disciples did exactly as Jesus told them to do. And it was all taken care of. They got the colt. Jesus got up on it. He sat down on it. They didn't want him, they didn't have a saddle or anything like that, right? Didn't need one, right? Just put a coat on. And these people heard he was coming. Do you realize that? Every time people heard that Jesus was coming, they gathered. They gathered. They heard that Jesus was coming and Jesus was doing something great. You know, Jesus is working. God's working and performing miracles all over the world. Did we gather for that? No, we spend all this time on social media and on our phones when we hear something or someone says, hey, did you hear that? I saw it on Facebook. Well, let me go check it out. And even in our own small towns, when something's happened down the street, everybody goes run. Well, back in the day of Jesus, there really wasn't a whole lot to do. And as I said last week, if you needed help, you went to Jesus. There were no hospitals, ERs, doctors, medicine. And so in this case, they hear that Jesus is coming. And I really believe these people thought, let's go tell him thanks. This was a parade. You see, did Jesus want a parade? No. Did he need a parade? No. Jesus didn't come for anyone to exalt him or to certainly give him any credit. He came for you. He came for me. He came for all people, all mankind. And his journey from this birth on this donkey and all the way to that cross and into that tomb was for you and for me and for all of us. Why? Because God loves you. Because God loves me. God loves your neighbor and all the people you think have done you wrong. God loves us all. And he sent us all. He forgives us all. He asks them for forgiveness. And you see, in this story, I believe I have learned, and I hope that you're learning or know in this story that when God asks you to do something, go do it. He'll take care of all the details. Just go do it. And he's telling these people that are saying, hey, you better tell these people to stop. All the devil, God's saying, or Jesus is saying, you better listen to God. You better listen to what I'm telling you to do. I'm telling you, repent of your sins and believe in me and trust me. I'm telling you. And so Jesus in this is headed toward the cross, so to speak, because we know here he is. He's in this triumphant parade. And you know what's sad? You know what's sad about this story? Is yes, there are doubters. And Jesus says, I'm not going to shut them up. I'm not going to tell them to be quiet. But the reality is, as we get closer to the cross and to the cross, some of those same people are going, Hosanna! Hosanna! Glory to God in the highest. The King is coming. Will be the same people that say, crucify him. Crucify him. You see, Jesus in his entire journey is basically kind of warning people. Just as we read in the Old Testament, the prophecies and the prophets were trying to warn the people. Just being a voice. He didn't need a parade. Because Jesus was humbled in his existence to come here because he did that for you and I. Because he loves us that much. So on this Palm Sunday, I pray that be your cheer. I pray that be your cry. Hosanna. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is the one who came in the name of the Lord? Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that right where you are, that he is the King? And I believe the King is coming back. Do you believe that this morning? Yeah, we're here in the season of Lent being reminded of what happened on this cross and what happened in the tomb. But we know in God's promises that he will return. We know in God's promises that he's always with us through the Holy Spirit. So you can spend your day today waving palm branches because it's Palm Sunday. And just like in that parade and that fanfare that day when Jesus was riding in and people are shouting and their voices proclaim that they believed in who he was. So my question to you this morning is, do you believe that he was the King? And if you believe that he was the King and you believe what happened on this cross to be true, then you might shout it from your rooftop. You might just get on your phone this morning and just, why don't we all do that maybe later today? Get on your phone and just say, Hosanna, Hosanna. You don't even have to wave a palm branch. The King is coming. Glory to God, the King. He who comes in the name of the one, of the Father, the King. And so as we kind of take all this in this morning and our season of Lent, and people are fasting and giving up things and focusing our attention on the cross, and we come today and our faith, and as we proceed into Holy Week with, you know, Maundy Thursday, that night when they sat down with Jesus, the disciples, and ate the Last Supper with him, and then on Good Friday he's crucified and he rises. We know that he is risen. Resurrection Sunday, we're moving into Holy Week. Before you can think about he has risen, you've got to think about he's died on the cross. And so as we go to prayer and prepare our hearts for a communion, may we be reminded of this King who came. He was the Son of God, we believe that. He came to this earth, and everything he did was for you. Every miracle, every teaching, and everything he did was for all the people. You know, led him right to this cross, where his body was broken and his blood was shed. Did he do that for himself? No. God called him to do it. He was following that plan, just doing what he's called to do. That's what I ask you to do. Are you doing what God's called you to do? Are you believing that Jesus died on the cross? His body was broken. Father, we don't need a palm branch this morning to be reminded of how awesome and great you are. God, we don't need a parade to show our appreciation for what you've done for us. And God, on this Palm Sunday, we are sad that we're not together in church and doing the traditional Palm Sunday things and the kids are waving palm branches. But at this point, those things are important to us, and it's good that we do them in God's house and in your presence. But we don't need a palm branch this morning. We don't need a parade. Because we know, God, that you sent your Son Jesus, and we believe it to be true, that he was the King and is the King and will always be the King. He's the King of kings. And he's your Son. And you sent him that he would suffer and die, but he would live first. He would live for us. And he would suffer and die on this cross. And today, as we come together in your presence, wherever we might be, God, I pray, whoever's listening and watching right now, if they don't know you as their Savior, that they would say, Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner, and I believe you died on the cross. I confess you as my Lord and Savior, and I commit to you right now. God, I think we all need to say that prayer. Just recommit every day. Just say, God, I'm a sinner, and I believe your word to be the truth. I believe this whole story to be true. That Jesus, there's so many lost and broken people all over our world right now. Don't know where to turn. Don't even want to get out of bed. God, but you're their hope. You're their only hope. You are the hope. And God, we thank you this morning for this time that brings us together. That we can, in our own living room, but together in your presence, we can connect with you today. And we can be reminded that the body was broken, that the blood was shed. God, we love you. God, we thank you. We ask all these things in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen. once and for all, Jesus laid his life down for you, for me, for all of us. Once and for all. He did that one time. That's it. One time. That's all he needs to do. Lay everything down. Bring everything to the feet of Jesus and leave it there. Laying everything before him. All your troubles, all your worries, all your sins. Lay it down. As we go to him in communion this morning, as you are getting your elements, that we might fully commit to him, that we might live for him now and forevermore. I share in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 17. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" And he replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. There again, Jesus gave them instructions. He told them what to do. You go do it. And when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him and to one another, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." And Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written, just as it is written about him. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It will be better for him not to have been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean." And while they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he gave thanks for the cup, he said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my body. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of your sins. I tell you, I will not drink from the fruit of the vine from now on until that day." God, as we come to this table to break of the bread and drink of the cup, God, we are reminded of the body that was broken and the blood that was shed once and for all. God, you did that once and for all because you loved us that much. That your son Jesus laid it all down for me. And I pray that all of us that are listening and watching taste that personal, knowing that Jesus did that for you, for me, for all. You said your son Jesus, and he once and for all died on the cross, laid everything down. And God, we pray you bless this bread, whatever form it might be this morning. We pray you bless this cup, whatever form it may be into this morning. That it'll be symbolic who did all. So you just heard in Scripture, on that night, after Jesus gave thanks for the bread, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this." And likewise, he took the cup. And as you hold your cup this morning, wherever you might be, be reminded that Jesus' blood forgives us of our sins. And we know that if we just trust and believe this to be true, it'll save us and it'll live in our hearts forever. So as you hold this cup, be reminded of how much God loves you. And Jesus gave thanks for the cup. And he said, "Drink of it, all of you. Do this." You're all comfy. Distance, no holding hands. Please stand with me as we're going to close together in saying the Lord's Prayer. It's not to thank for joining with us today, wherever you might be. I hope that you will join us again for Easter. Please check the Facebook page that you're on now, and the Lighthouse page, and the church website for updates and announcements that will be happening. God bless you, and have a great weekend.